Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
720 WGN, the cleanup is underway. The roar of chainsaws echo throughout not just suburbs, but neighborhoods of Chicago. And the National Weather Service said they are investigating more than 25 possible tornadoes. In fact, the Romeoville office of the National Weather Service, at one point, the whole crew had to take shelter from the tornado themselves. Demetrius, I saw you showing pictures of what was happening outside of the WGN TV studios, like right before 10 o'clock. My gosh, it was looking crazy there, too.
All over the region. I mean, there's always the danger, the extra danger with nighttime tornadoes and rain-wrapped tornadoes. But this ended up being more than a squall line event. Bill Snyder should be here with me now. And this was a derecho event that the Storm Prediction Center's let us know.
It sure was.
And before you get to that, I just want to say our conversations with Demetrius and Bill are always sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And unfortunately, I think some people might have some water issues, yeah, especially with their basements. But, Bill, what kind of numbers do you have for us?
Well, Lisa, it's amazing. We've got so far from the National Weather Service, again, as you mentioned, they've got six damage survey teams that are out looking at 29 different paths, you know, from last night's storms. And so far we have at least an EF1 tornado near Shanahan, Illinois. We've got an EF1 on the near west side of Chicago in the city to the far western portions of the loop. We've also got an EF1 tornado in the Bristol and Oswego areas. At least an EF0 tornado damage in Justice and Bridgeview, and at least EF0 tornado damage near Crown Point, Indiana. So those are what we know so far from our hardworking survey teams from the National Weather Service. And, you know, I have to mention here, this isn't something we're going to have an answer by the end of the day or
no,
even by tomorrow. This is going to take several days to, as they dispatch crews, to take a look at all these paths.
Because it sounds like they're just moving towards Will County. I was there today, and they're probably going to have to really take a close look at what happened as you go through Joliet, Mokena, and even towards the Frankfort area. A lot of large trees down in that area.
Right.
And this wasn't anything that you guys didn't predict. Bill joined us yesterday. Mm-hmm. He pointed out all of the science that said, hey, this could be a dangerous situation.
Right.
And thank God lives were spared, except for a woman who was killed by a tree falling on her house. And boy, none of us can do much about that.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate on what happened. I just want to say that when there is a tornado warning, it is critical that you get downstairs. Upstairs, no matter how sturdy your house is, I mean, unless you're living on a property where nothing can hit you, which, you know, when you're talking about a tornado, that would be, you know, you'd have to live in the middle of a football field. Mm-hmm. So, I don't want to speculate on what happened. I mean, it's a tragedy. But if there is a tornado warning, get downstairs immediately.
And away from all windows, too, Lisa. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you know, these storms were so powerful last night that, you know, even if they weren't producing tornadoes, you know, every thunderstorm warning should have been treated as if it was a tornado warning, because you don't want to be standing close to any windows when you're dealing with 75 to 80 mile per hour winds like we had last night. So that's
right.
You really, you know, we were trying to be very, you know, vocal in that sense to urge people to treat these warnings as if a tornado was touching down.
We had a text thread going among everyone on the afternoon show, Mary, Steve, Kevin, and myself. And I said, Demetrius just said, if you care about somebody, you tell them to get in the basement. So I told Mary, get in the basement now. And her response was, I'm in the basement. Where was your husband?
On the back deck.
Oh,
yeah. Of course.
Yep, of course.
Get life insurance on that guy very soon. Raise it. Right now. Yeah, raise it right now.
It's impossible.
But we are at a point, guys, right, where people want the weather video. They want to see it. They want to post it. Not in the case of Mary's husband, but
no.
I think people are putting themselves in danger more now than ever.
Well, you know what? One thing that I've always said, If your video is not taken from a safe distance, I don't care. I mean, maybe some of our producers will use it. I won't use it. I will not use it. If you're standing out there saying, look, there's a tornado coming at me and I'm standing right here, I'm not using it because I, you know what? I don't want, it's just, I just don't want that on my conscience. So, you know, and, you know, most of our producers kind of back us up. I mean, if you're, if it's not taken from a safe, I understand being caught somewhere, pulling out your phone and doing it. But if you're, you know, driving around in your, Ford Explorer trying to pull up on a tornado, I'm not using that, you know, and we're not, you know, why use someone risking their life for clicks? It's just not, it's not happening.
So true. Demetrius Ivory, Bill Snyder with us. We'll continue our conversation next. First, Mary's got to check on current conditions and traffic. 720 WGN, back-to-back storms for Chicago Sunday night and Monday night. Demetrius Ivory and Bill Snyder from WGN-TV are with us, and a lot of applause coming your way on our text line. Someone said, Demetrius, you were awesome last night. So helpful. Glad you were on the air. Chicago's lucky to have you. Another said, Lisa, will you please tell Demetrius what a great job he did last night? I had WGN on from 8 to maybe 11. He explained everything through the day so I could be ready to inform my family and friends. And, oh, more of those are coming in. But a parent from Barrington said, look, I was in my basement in Barrington. My kids live on the 10th floor of a Chicago high-rise. Where do they go? Kevin, you know, our sports anchor lives in a high-rise. He went to the bathroom, right? The point is get away from the glass.
Get away from the glass. A stairwell is usually pretty good also. And also a hallway a lot of times, if you're talking about that. But, yeah, I mean, do you leave your unit? I'm sure Kevin didn't leave his unit. You know,
he didn't.
Yeah, he just go in the bathroom and open a cold one. Wait that one out.
I was reading that we also had a derecho, or is it derecho? Anyway,
yes.
They described it as a storm system that continues for 250 miles?
400.
That was just recently redefined, Lisa. Oh. But yeah, 400 miles. That's the official classification. It's a, you know, it's a widespread, long-lived area of straight-line damaging thunderstorm winds that carries 400 miles
or 50 miles wide for 400
right.
miles too.
Right.
So
wow.
I mean, yeah. We haven't had one of those since 2020, and interesting enough, Bill and I were working that night with Mike Hamernick, rest his soul, and it was a lot like this, except I think that one was worse. Yeah, it was worse, but even surprised us more because we knew storms, but we didn't know, we had no idea what we were in for that night.
Yeah,
and are they changing the dynamics of that description from 250 miles to 400 because climate change is changing everything?
You know, that's a good question.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just know that they you know, every now and then you get the National Weather Service, they redefine various weather situations and descriptions. I mean, you know, for example, we had our wind chill calculator modified back in the early 2000s. You know, that we had some ridiculously high numbers on certain cold waves, and they redefined that. So this was just something that that I know was done recently, and it was changed from 250 to 400. But this is the time of the year. It's prime time for that kind of thing to happen, Lisa. You know, we had mentioned that, you know, we have this incredible dome of heat that's been parked over the West, breaking all kinds of records in Las Vegas and Salt Lake City, Boise, Idaho. And you know, we got a little piece of that heat, but we were also on the northern fringe or the stormy side of the jet stream. And so you get the hot air and the heat that was breaking all those records was actually feeding the storms that we were getting here. So there's a correlation between that intense heat and then the storms that were rotating around the northern periphery of that dome. So really interesting in this time of the year.
And then we got cooler air aloft that came over, and that basically was the match that lit everything. Once that short wave came through, it was all bets off.
And we had incredibly high atmospheric moisture levels, Lisa. We had a 79-degree dew point at O'Hare yesterday before those storms hit, which is about the highest we've had in about 3 or 4 years. That's nearly about as high as you get in this part of the world. The highest dew point ever in Chicago was 83. So, you know, the higher the dew point, the heating, the moisture levels, that just is fuel to the fire for these storms to develop. So it was the perfect marriage of everything coming together yesterday that helped develop these storms.
Okay, let's speak about O'Hare for a moment. I'm seeing a lot of video of enormous crowds of people trying to, you know, shelter in place at O'Hare. There was a moment where they were under threat as well, right?
Oh yeah, they definitely were, I think that's one of the areas that our colleagues at the Weather Service are surveying right now. But it was reported that there was a tornado a couple of miles from there, and I had seen something on social media, which was frightening to say the least. That there were during the tornado warning near O'Hare, that there were at least 13 jets that were sitting off on the runway during the tornado warning. Can you imagine sitting on a jet on a runway during the middle of a tornado warning?
I mean, which is basically a metal kite,
a tin can
kite.
It is.
Yeah.
So just a could have been a horrific situation.
Yeah, could have been bad there.
Just depending on where it landed.
How many tornado warnings were issued yesterday?
Wow. I've seen confirmation, some reports of somewhere between 14 and 16 warnings.
I've seen 16. I mean,
yeah. That's a lot for one day.
Could have been more. There could have been more. I mean, it was at one point it was one of those points. And then when the National Weather Service got hit, that affects when our radar gets hit, at the National Weather Service, it affects how that signal goes out.
Right.
It just can't make it through that intense rain and intense wind. So there could have probably been more. I'm sure that there was a lot of trouble kind of analyzing the line there,
But this line was so powerful, Lisa, that if you just look at the whole thing, we get what's called these QLCS tornadoes to develop, which stands for a quasi-linear convective system tornadoes. They're tornado-like vortices that spin up on the front side of this fast-moving band of thunderstorms and squall lines. So that's kind of what we were dealing with, and that's why the National Weather Service, any indication of that there was a little spin on the radar signal. Signature, and they didn't hesitate to issue these tornado warnings to err on the side of caution. So that's kind of what we were dealing with, and that's why we had so many warnings and many of them going on all at once.
And did we have flooding? Is there flooding today?
There wasn't as much.
Partially
because, and we kind of mentioned this yesterday, I mean, they had the flash flood warnings out there, but these storms were moving pretty quickly.
Yeah, highway speeds.
Yeah, so I mean, even in some areas where we got close to 2 inches of rain, I mean, you're talking, I mean, very quickly. So there wasn't a lot of flooding. We don't need any more rain right now.
Right. And thankfully, we're not going to get it.
So we could stay, there's a slight chance of some showers or storms later today. But, other than that, we don't need any more rain. So for our rivers and things like that, we're okay as far as that goes.
So numerous tornadoes are, suspected. You said they're looking at 29 different paths.
Right.
The one on the near west side of Chicago, do you know an area or a neighborhood?
There was one on the West Loop. One in the West Loop, it looks like.
Yes.
How rare is that, guys, for a tornado to affect the Loop?
When you think about it geographically, the Loop is not a large area. But there is absolutely no credence to the whole myth that tornadoes won't hit major cities. There's nothing. One went through New York City just about 2 years ago. So, we can put that to bed. I mean, people always, said that it's more like 70s, 80s, and 90s that tornadoes wouldn't hit major cities. That has been proven wrong over and over again. I think that it's rare for one to hit the Loop, but when you think about it, again, the Loop is not a very large geographical area.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, last night we had it happen.
And I mean, we had that, that derecho, Lisa, 4 years ago, when we were talking about that one, there were multiple tornadoes in the city. I know Rogers Park was among the areas that were hit by that storm. So, it seems to be happening, more frequently. We've had tornadoes recently in Nashville and Dallas-Fort Worth. So, it certainly puts that myth to bed that you can't get a tornado in a large metropolitan city, especially if the right meteorological parameters come together. And certain instances in the spring here, you get a lake breeze, and that certainly acts as a deflects the storms away from the city. But we're past that point now.
Well, there's not a better weather team in the city of Chicago. So I applaud both of you and the rest of your team at WGN-TV. We carry you. We go to you live immediately in times that the city needs information, and we appreciate you, and thank you for your coverage.
I was watching Alyssa Donovan, too, was fantastic.
She was great.
Yeah. She's right over here, so we're giving her the kudos. You know, it was...
Yep.
You know, it was interesting because when we walked in, this was our first major event since Tom left.
Right.
And we weren't worried at all. We've been doing this. We know what we're doing. But we knew that a lot of people wanted to know, hey, what's going to happen now that Tom's gone? And, you know,
right.
And it's not like, you know, Tom's in Hawaii, unfortunately, or we would have probably called him to be part of our
Well, conference. You know, he was all over Facebook explaining everything.
Hey, I'm sure he was. But yeah, I'm proud of everybody too. Both, you know, we kind of changed the way that we've done severe weather. There are three people, three different computers, three different areas. So all of our crew need to really pay attention. And I mean, I'll be darned if they mic clipped us once or twice. They didn't. I mean, it was just, they knew exactly where we were going and everybody was just lock and step on. And this was the first real kind of test. And I think the whole crew passed it well.
A+. Yeah. We give you an A+ on your first big test.
All right.
Thank you so much, guys.
We appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to join you, Lisa.
Demetrius Ivory and Bill Snyder. Steve's News next on 720 WGN.